You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Kate, what are you listening to?
My body?
Oh, what's it saying? Are you injured or something?
No, it's a song.
Oh, well, what's that from?
And welcome back to another episode of What's That From? Exploring musicals we don't know, but probably should.
This week, we're exploring the musical, The Life.
The musical, The Life.
The musical,
Sounds
The Life.
So existential.
Sounds like my life, the musical.
The Life, my life. So this was a goodie.
It's a goodie. It's, you would think The Life would have a lot of, like, vibrant life in it, but it's really dark and dirty.
Oh, is it, Josh? Well, I do think that you may owe us a 30-second rendition of this plot, so why don't we get a dark and dirty with the 30-second plot, Josh?
This is a tough one, because this is one of those shows where there's, like, five plots happening at once.
Yeah, I think this is, like, one of those where you need to, like, choose wisely what you're going to discuss.
Yeah.
Okay, I have 30 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, go.
It's in New York City in the 80s, and it's about prostitutes and pimps, and there are, like, a few different pimps that have, like, all their different women that they use to make their money, and they're always trying to, like, grow and get new women, and there's this new girl who comes into town, and there's also this prostitute that's just tired of getting arrested, and she wants to break out and run away with her guy, but then he, like, is always using it on drugs, and then, like, they try to take in this new girl who comes into town, but she's actually not as innocent as she seems, and then... Oh, there's, like, a big pimp that, like, gets involved. Oh my gosh, I do not know how to describe this plot in 30 seconds. There is, like, too much happening.
I feel like you're, when you described, like, your first sentence of just, like, there's prostitutes and pimps in New York City in the 80s, I feel like that, once you get more in depth than that, it just gets really confusing.
Like, that is the 30 second plot challenge.
Yeah, that's, like, the 2 second plot challenge, like.
Yeah.
In like 20 words or less, describe the plot, like, done.
Hmm.
So The Life. It's complex. It is... They have a lot going on.
A lot going on.
I had to read the synopsis of the plot probably, like, 10 times before I even, like, kind of understood what was going on.
This synopsis, like, paralleled 13 to me in, like, the most ironic way. Like, it was like, he did this, and then she said this about him, and then he went and did this to her, and then she, and then a new girl came to town, and then this, I was like, is this, like, the R-rated version of 13?
The R-rated version of 13. Maybe that's how they should plug this show. The Life. It's like what happens when 13 grows up. Except, actually, literally, nothing like that at all, but... But in confusingness of the plot, and in the same way where 13, I think if you saw it on stage, you'd be like, this makes perfect sense, why does no one would I not understand this? But reading it, there's just so many names and they all are intertwined that it just hurts the brain.
Yep. So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. I mean, so the show was written with a book by David Newman, Ira Gassman, and Cy Coleman, and the music by Cy Coleman and lyrics by Gassman. And it was actually just created kind of just as an idea. Like, Ira Gassman was just walking around Times Square, 42nd Street, and he was like, or they were like, yeah, there's a lot of prostitutes and pimps out here, and this is just seems like an interesting, seedy lifestyle that I would just love to pluck out of Times Square and put onto a stage. And then they did.
Right, like, I'm so fortunate that we live in the New York City that is, like, a lot. I mean, like, ironic to say cleaner, because people don't think of New York City as clean, but I mean, like, everybody talks about New York City, or at least, like, Times Square, that area, 42nd Street in the 80s, as being, like, very dangerous and, like, dirty, yeah. And it wasn't until Disney came in with Beauty and the Beast when they cleaned it up, but so...
Yeah, no, that's even, like, it's described here as, like, Times Square is 42nd Street inhabited by pimps, prostitutes, druggies, and dealers, runways, and street people in the era prior to its Disneyfication.
Yeah.
Disneyfication. That is, like, used as a word. Disneyfication.
That's crazy.
So, it's got Disney. Honestly,
thankful for Disney.
Yeah, that sounds, like, a little scary. I would not enjoy.
I mean, I'm sure all those things still exist on 42nd Street. You just don't, like, see them, like, as out in the open.
Yeah. And because, like, in this musical, to get into it, I mean, it was pretty out in the open. These people are just, they are living the life.
Hanging on the street corner.
Hanging on the street corner. And that's how they're making their money and making their ends meet. And I do, what I appreciate about this show is I think that it just depicts it. It's not like, this is a musical about prostitutes. It's like, these people are prostitutes and this is their life.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I appreciate how it kind of like makes you look at, wow, this person's struggling so much. What's going on? And then you're like, oh, I forgot that, like, just their state of being is prostitution, which is...
And then also, like, it's very, like, taking the power back for them, but also shows us a look into how manipulative, like, that world is. Like, I feel like some people are judgmental and just think, like, oh, these women are just, like, slutty, and they just, like, love to get around, so they do this as their job. But, like, you see in the show, like, a lot of these women, like, don't want to be doing it, but like they get wrapped up into it and they can't get their way out of it, so it's right. Like they kind of right. Get stuck in it, so it's like it's like part of it is like very like taking it back for them, like confident, like don't judge me for what I do, but also like you don't realize like how I got here and how I can't get out,
right? And then I also think it's also just them being like, well, I can't get out, so you know what, I'm gonna choose to be empowered by it because I have no choice.
Right
Which I yeah. True. Fair point, Josh. Fair point. So, I think the life kind of, like, opens up just depicting Times Square, and it, like, really amplifies, like, just all the sex in New York City that was going on at the time, all the different, like, topless bars and hookers, and they just, like, really are, like, check it out is the opening number. It's very, like... Whoa, look chaotic. At all the stuff that's going on in New York.
Very chaotic opening to a show.
Yeah. And so then there's Jojo, who's like a...
Siwa.
Jojo Siwa.
I'd love to see a production of The Life of Jojo Siwa, please, Jojo the Pimp.
Let's make it happen. Honestly, I think we're ready for it. But
okay, so, keep going.
But Jojo is just a pimp. Basically. And he's very like, you know, you gotta like you use what you got, like you have to like
manipulate people,
use what yeah. you got. These people, I think the common thread between all of these pimps are they're power hungry and also yeah. greedy. And so he's just kind of like, yep, well that's what I am, so let's just why don't we use that to our advantage and
don't get in my way.
Yeah, and don't get in my way. Very clear. Yeah. And so then there's this, would you say that Queen is, like, the main character? Kind of.
I think so. I think so.
So Queen is, like, one of the veteran hookers on the street.
And she's always getting arrested.
She's always getting arrested, and she's involved with this man named Fleetwood, who is also a pimp. And he is
he's her lover, but like also her pimp. So like they have like a really weird relationship because she's in love with him and he's apparently in love with her, but he sends her out to be with other men to make money for them. But then he just uses their money on drugs because he was a Vietnam War vet, so he has like PTSD, so he does drugs to like forget all the things he went through. And then he sends his girlfriend out to have sex with guys to make money to go back in that cycle and just keep buying more drugs.
It's so complex.
Yeah.
So that's their relationship, which is just, I mean, kind of, it's set up for failure from the start, but I guess like
it's the life.
And so, and Queen is in jail and she gets out of jail and she's like, look, like this is going to be so great. I'm out of jail and blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, oh my gosh, hate to break it to you, but I actually spent all of our money on drugs.
Right.
She's like, great, 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 great. I'm so glad that while I was in jail, you spent all of our money. That's awesome. So yeah, so Fleetwood is really into like power and money. Same with JoJo. So they're kind of like-minded. And they go to Port Authority, a classic New York hotspot. And they find this girl, Mary, who is like from the Minnesota. She's just like handpicked from the Midwest, bright-eyed.
Thoroughly modern Millie.
Thoroughly modern Mary from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they are kind of like, this is perfect. She looks super fresh and like a fresh face and people love that. And this will be like our big selling point. So then they like, you know what? We're going to get her in here. She's going to be our like hero. We're going to make all kinds of money. And then Queen tries to be like, girl, this is like not gonna be the life for you. And Mary's like, don't tell me what to do. And Queen's like, okay, but
she's I'm like, just, go home.
Yeah, she's literally like, go home.
Go this home. Is, that song is literally her saying, like, well, this isn't this, go home. This isn't this, go home. It's like every other line is go home.
She's like, I cannot emphasize this enough. In case you didn't pick it up before, go home. So then Mary doesn't go home, but Queen ends up getting kind of caught in a weird situation.
And then like the ladies are out on their corner and these like a gospel group comes by to like shame them and they're like, you're never gonna go to heaven, you're sinners. And then they're like, well, it's my body and it's my business, so
walk away. So good.
And it's like the anthem of the show, kind of.
It's such a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then once Mary becomes like a big success and all this stuff, Queen, she then goes to jail again.
Right.
And she has some time to think about, like, Fleetwood isn't really doing too much for me. And then she decides she's had enough. She decides she's had enough. She said, it's been enough. I've had enough. And then she ends up kind of hooking onto this other pimp named Memphis. And then, of course, that just gets so sticky. And that's kind of how Act 1 ends. There's like a hooker's ball that they all go
to. It's like the Jellicle ball, but it's the hooker's ball.
It literally is the Jellicle ball, except just hooker version.
Lot of drama goes down.
So much drama.
I mean, like, so also Mary, the innocent, like, throw them under Mary. She gets involved with Lou, who is a Los Angeles producer of motion pictures, aka like pornos.
Yeah.
And so she gets like hooked up and she gets convinced that like she's gonna be making movies, we're gonna be a big movie star, but actually she's not. And she ends up like becoming involved with Fleetwood a little bit sexually, and then Queen discovers that at the ball. And Lou, the producer, takes Mary away, and Queen is like, I'm done with you, Fleetwood, and attaches herself to Memphis.
Right.
And that's Act One.
The fact that it's called a ball just, like, makes me laugh. I love it. It's so dramatic. So then Act Two opens. Act Two gets, like, really crackheady by the end. And, like, not in, like just in a way of, like, whoa, this musical takes a turn.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So the Queen is like still with Memphis, and like Memphis or Fleetwood is like upset about it. It's like this weird like jealousy triangle kind of thing that right. just ends up being a bit sticky. And
then Memphis loaned Queen a big dress for the ball, but then he like wraps her in and is like, actually it was $6,000 that you have to repay me now that you work for me. And she's like, I thought it was a pretty dress.
Yes. And then also like he literally warns Queen, he's like, if you like don't leave town because you'll be coming back real soon for a funeral. Fleetwoods. Followed shortly by your funeral. I was like, whoa, that is like so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then like Queen is like, oh no, like now Memphis is like threatening Fleetwood. So she's like, I have to tell Fleetwood because I still love him. And it just
And then Fleetwood comes back to his hotel, and then he like finds the Thoroughly Modern Mary leaving New York to go to Los Angeles because she's like, I'm going to be famous.
It's so much drama.
There's so much drama. And then like it's just like scene after scene. It's just like all the characters you've met interacting with each other in a new way. Like these people have, it's like the writers were like, these two people don't have a scene yet. Let's make them involved with each other.
Yeah, it's like, put them together in this one.
Yeah.
And so then Memphis is just, like, really aggressively, like...
evil.
Evil. Yeah, he's literally evil. And so then, like, Queen, like, still loves Fleetwood, so she's, like, trying to help, but she just ends up as, like, trying to get out of this really, really toxic relationship she has with Memphis. But then Fleetwood comes in as, like, I want to talk to you. Like, we got to get out. Like, you and me, we can get out of it. And then Queen is like, no. Like, she really does just need to separate herself totally from the situation. But,
she's got
to
go.
She's got to go. And then, Memphis, like, comes into the scene and Fleetwood, like, pulls out a gun, but JoJo knocks the gun loose and Memphis stabs Fleetwood and then Queen ends up shooting Memphis.
So it's like big like West Side Story battle at the end, like,
yeah. And then bang. Like it honestly like kind of, it's, that's funny you say that, because I feel like in West Side Story the point is like Maria is like so innocent and then she ends up having to kill someone and that's like, you made me do this. But I kind of feel like in a way, even though they're not innocent at all, like I do feel like it is sad that Queen ends up having to do that, because it's like, she never would have done that. Like, she never would have gotten to this point if, like, they didn't, like, push her to get to that point.
No, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like they're not the same thing because Maria's so innocent and Queen is, like, a prostitute. But in a way, it's in the same vein. Kind of interesting.
Right. They they just get pushed to a breaking point because they get involved in all this drama that they should have never been involved with from the beginning.
Right. And then yeah. Sonia, who's the one who was like helping Queen get away from Memphis, ends up taking the blame. So that
she's
Queen,
the queen.
Can
she like she is the queen of the show. It's yeah. Sonia to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause and she's the one who like takes all the blame and then is like, Queen, get on this bus and go away. Like you can get out of here. And then she does.
And then they sing literally For Good from Wicked. And then then she goes away.
It's so true.
They sing My Friend, but it's literally like, because I knew you, I have been changed for good.
It's so true. That's so accurate. What an interesting show.
And then the curtain comes down.
And then that's it. It's a lot of drama.
It is a lot of drama. It is. So the craziest thing is that the show is about prostitutes and it's written by Cy Coleman. And so is Sweet Charity. And like Sweet Charity is so like colorful and like Sweet Charity is complex, but like in a very like not as like dark subject matter as this. So this is just like the like harsh, like cold grown up version of Sweet Charity to me.
Yes. I just feel like this is very real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's just a very.
But when you listen to the music, I don't think you would realize how dark the plot of it is if you hadn't seen it yet. If you just listened to the cast album, like
maybe if you listen
to the lyrics, but like the music does not feel like the plot of this show. Like if this was a play and there was no music, it would be like a very serious play.
Yes, I agree. But the music
and the music is like funky.
Funky, and it hits you like it's like whoa, and it is very like groovy fun music, which I guess maybe is why then you can swallow this plot, because then they hit you with these like power ballads. These women are belting.
Yeah, Lilias White, who is just an icon. She has one of my favorite voices on Broadway. She is just literally incredible. And she won a Tony Award for this.
She did win a Tony.
She played Sonia. And she sings The Oldest Profession, which is about just like how she's been a prostitute for forever and how it's just like her life. That song also kind of feels like the title song for this show too. Like that and My Body, I feel like, are the two that like really feel like a core song to this show.
I agree.
But it's funky.
Yeah. And then this Chuck Cooper also won the best performance by a featured actor in a musical. Which, I mean, the show was nominated for a lot of Tonys.
A lot. Yeah. It lost to Titanic for best musical. But you know what's crazy? So here's the thing. If you watch all the videos, and even if you read like the New York Times review and stuff, the choreography is by Joey McNeely, and it's very Bossy inspired. And I think it's because it's kind of like a nod to Sweet Charity a little bit, because it's like Coleman, it's about prostitutes, so I felt like that kind of lends itself to that kind of Bossiness in that music. But it was the same year that Chicago was nominated and won the revival, and ranking won Best Choreography. So I'm like, you watch the videos, and it's very Fosse-inspired choreography. And I'm like, must be have been weird to, like, be that choreographer and, like, choreograph a show inspired by Fosse while Anne Rankin is literally doing the same thing to Chicago in, like, a way more epic way. You know what I mean? Like, that must have, like, really washed this show under. Like, if this debuted in a different year, might have, like, done a little better. But I feel like because Chicago is happening at the same time in the same award season, even though it's in different categories, I still feel like that kind of, like, took a lot of light away from this.
Yeah. That's always sad. I feel like that's kind of been the case for a few of these shows that we've done, is that just a really epic show was also the same year. And then I'm like, come on, this one just got really swept under the rug. When I think it actually, if it wasn't a different year, it could have had more potential.
That's, like, the thing about award shows, is that, like, Waitress, like literally lost out on everything, but it's like such a good show, but like of course Hamilton was gonna win, you know,
it was
like,
doomed from the start.
Yeah,
but I mean the show didn't do bad. It opened in 1997, and it ran for 466 performances, which that's like not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done a few where it's like, it ran for 16 performances. So 466 is not an embarrassing number at all.
Yeah. And they got Liza Minnelli to come up on stage and sing with them after one show.
Check out the YouTube.
Highly suggest. Yeah, highly suggest looking up Liza Minnelli singing Use What You Got, which is kind of like the opening number. Like, check it out. It's like the opening sequence, but like the first real number is Use What You Got. Mm-hmm. And she sings that with the guy who plays him, Sam Harris.
Sam Harris, yeah.
Yeah. Who was also nominated for Tony.
It's good.
It's good. It's fun.
And watch the Tony performance because,
oh my gosh,
it's just like straight belting, and then they hit you with this dance sequence that
it's
is
a
just,
good dance break.
And it is like this musical, that song especially, I think like could be so powerful even nowadays. It's very like my body is my business. Like, yeah, if
somebody
you don't
should
like
reuse it for some kind of anthem for something. You know what I mean?
I agree.
It's definitely like potential for like another life out there. Another life.
The life. The life. Yeah, no, I think that literally the lyrics are very like, if you don't like it, that's the way I am. It's my body. It's my business. And my business.
Right.
You know, I'm like, whoa. It's very prolific for like 1997. You know, I feel like people still don't really get that memo. So I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, literally. But the thing about that is that it like, I keep going back to being like, oh, the music's so funky and fun, but it might not have done as well as it could have in the 70s or the 80s because it's in the 90s. It's like right on the brink of like contemporary musical theater. And this show just, even though it's a lot of belting, it doesn't feel like contemporary musical theater at all.
Yeah.
It feels very dated for the time, which I still love. I mean, like this is the kind of music I like, but I could see why it might not have done as well as it could have in 1997.
Right.
Because of the music style.
Yeah. That makes sense. So what would you say then was your favorite song?
Probably Use What You Got. I love that song.
Okay.
I just think the orchestration in it is so good too.
Yeah.
I just love that song. I also like My Body.
Yeah.
And I like The Oldest Profession. I really like the end of it when she's just like, she's just like riffing over and over again.
Yes.
I love that. And then Go Home made me laugh.
Yeah. Because she really does drive the point home. She really says go home.
What's your favorite?
My favorite song was Easy Money.
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
Super cute.
So cute. Like totally a song that like so many people could sing and I've never once heard in my life.
It'd be great for like a Chicago audition or like wall party, anything that's like twin easy. It's very like, yeah, it's very cute. Also, I like that too. I like that it's set in the 80s, but the music feels very 20s, 30s.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I like that. And it's like 20s mixed with 70s.
And like it's weird because like when you watch the Tony performance on YouTube, you'll see like they're wearing like jean shorts and like tank
sparkly
tops.
Like, yeah,
it's
like,
not like they're not dressed in any sort of period stuff. So I kind of like that the music does sort of carry a period feel because
a wide range. Yeah,
the show itself just kind of like lives on the streets of New York, which I think is kind of cool. It's like they're all like in like, I don't know, specific outfits. It looks very real, which it's like a slice of life, the life.
Yeah, it looks very contemporary. Like that performance, like their outfits and stuff does look like a contemporary musical.
Yes.
I just think there's like so many things floating around with it, design wise and like book wise. Like
Yeah. So what would you rate the life?
I think I would give it like a 6 out of 10. A 7 out of 10?
Yeah.
Maybe 7 out of 10.
Okay.
What about you?
I think I would give it like a 6.5.
Yeah, 6.5. That's a good one.
Yeah. I think because I do think the music is really, really good. And I think, yeah, I just think you should listen to the album. I really do think the music is so fun and so cool. And it's different from a lot of things that I've heard before. And the people on the album can straight up sing. Like, they really can sing. It's a very well put together album. But
and I liked how unique it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too. And I mean, I think the plot is like very, very dramatic and sad. So I would be interested to see how I felt after seeing it, because I don't know that you'd leave feeling like that great about things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like you'd leave and be like, wow, one girl got out and people are dead. You know what I mean? So, like, it's definitely not a feel-good musical.
Doesn't tie up at the end, yeah.
No, it doesn't tie up. But then again, life doesn't tie up. So
that's
maybe
true. And it is the life.
It is the life. So maybe it is just supposed to be a harsh reality, which I think could be true.
Yeah.
But I'd say overall, like, was a fan, will listen to the songs again. I would definitely recommend listening to, like, this musical. I think you could use to audition for so many things.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a casting director, so I guess I don't sit in like that many auditions, but I've never heard anyone sing anything from this, so
yeah.
If we don't know it, if we don't know it, then you maybe probably possibly don't know it. So I would recommend learning it, because it's good.
And go listen to it.
Go listen to it on either YouTube or Apple Music, because it's not on Spotify, unfortunately. So I will not be adding this to the playlist, but check it out anyway.
And check us out on Instagram at WTF_BWay. That is at WTF_BWAY.
We post updates every Monday and Wednesday, and we are looking forward to getting some more content out there and exploring some more shows as we continue in this 2021 era of WTF BWay.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.